And they were asking him, "Who are you?" Isn't it amazing how some things never seem to change? In our text for this morning, the Jews just couldn't seem to get it through their heads. They just could not understand who Jesus was and what his message was all about. Again and again, he had tried to make clear to them who he was and why he had come. In fact, in the verses just before our text, he had said that he was the light of the world, and that those who would follow after him would not live in darkness, but would have the light of life. Yet, in their minds, dulled by their conceit, dulled by their pride and sin, they simply could not take it in. They simply could not get it. And unfortunately, to this very day, there is great confusion about who Jesus is and what his mission was and is. The question that the Jews asked, "Who are you? Who is this Jesus?" is a question that many people still wonder about today. People are still asking that same question with many and various answers, and indeed with much confusion, as people still today, with their minds clouded by their prejudices, with their minds clouded by their presuppositions, by their prejudices, by their sophistication, by their worldly wisdom, cannot seem to comprehend the plain and simple message of Scripture concerning our Lord Jesus and his mission. My youngest daughter, who is home from college on spring break, showed me an interesting excerpt out of her book on American politics. And in the section that deals with religious liberties in America, there is some very interesting information. It says in the first place that the United States of America is the most religious nation in the Western world. Indeed, it says that most Americans believe that our religion gives us much strength. And in fact, 86% of Americans claim to be Christians. Sounds good. God bless America. And yet, there's also, it seems to me, a disconnect. For in another report in this book of a survey that had been done, it says that fully 75% of Americans believe that many religions can lead to salvation. And in fact, only a very small percentage believe that there is one true religion. So we're back to our question: who is Jesus? And does it really matter? Is Jesus simply one option among many, one of many roads that really can lead to the same place? Well, in our text for today, Jesus wanted to leave no doubt as to who he is. He is the Son of God, he says. He says that he is from above, he is from heaven. He is sent by the Father. He does the will of his Father. He speaks the things of his Father in heaven. His Father never left him alone. In fact, I believe he even identifies himself here with the Godhead when he says things such as, "When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am." When he says or calls himself by that name, "I am," we cannot help but think back to the way in which God revealed himself to Moses. And certainly those original Jewish hearers to whom he was speaking at the time could not have helped think back to that time as well. When Moses asked God, "Who should I say sent me?" And God said, "I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you." There is to be no doubt as to the identity of Jesus. And this Jesus, he said, would be lifted up. That is to say, he would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of the world. So in spite of the obstinacy of the Jews here, Jesus made it clear who he is, where he came from, and what his mission was. But does it really matter? Is it really important that people know and acknowledge who Jesus is? Well, again, our text makes the disastrous consequences of unbelief very clear. I can't help but thinking of the speech of the President of the United States last night as he addressed the world. Whether you agree with him or not, his message was very clear, it was very simple, it was very plain. Time was running out on Saddam Hussein. In our text, it seems that Jesus is saying the same kind of thing to the Jews, to the unbelieving Jews. He says that he was going to go away, that they would then seek him, but they would not be able to go where he is going because they would die in their sin. They would die in their sin of unbelief. He said, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. But it's interesting that even in spite of that stern warning, it's interesting to note the reactions of the Jews, who really don't seem to take it all that seriously. So again, does it matter who Jesus is and whether we believe in him? Well, our relativistic, pluralistic world would say, not really. Our world has been deceived by an idea that even affects the minds of our own people, that can even affect the minds of the people that you will serve, who have bought into the idea that truth is relative, that there can be many truths. Sometimes there are even truths that are contradictory, and it's okay. In fact, there's no way to know. And yet here in this text, again, Jesus is clear regarding the truth. For he says, he who sent me is true. He who sent me is true. And the things which I hear from him, these I speak to the world. Now it's interesting how Martin Luther connects this entire passage to the preaching of the word. In fact, he goes on at length in some of his sermons on this section of scripture, talking about how hard it is to proclaim the word of truth to people who do not want to hear it. And he goes on with many examples from his own life and his own experience. Well, we have that same word of truth to proclaim. But at the same time, we must recognize and know that the world does not always want to hear it. We should not expect that this message of the truth will be automatically embraced by the world. In fact, we should expect the opposite, because we know that the gospel is offensive. We know that Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. He is a rock of offense to natural man. So we should be prepared for opposition to the word of God. We should be prepared even for charges of intolerance or narrow-mindedness, or maybe even extremism and fanaticism if we're to go so far as to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way. Of course, the temptation is always to try to find a way to make the word of truth more palatable, to perhaps try to tickle the ears of our hearers with our eloquence, or perhaps to try to shape the message in such a way that it really does not cut to the heart, that it really does not expose people's sins so that we can then apply the balm of the gospel. That's the great challenge that we have, to speak that truth. To speak that truth. Yes, of course, to speak that truth in love. And as we again stand on the brink of war, as we prepare for the violence and the destruction and the death that comes with war, we are reminded of just how important the work of proclaiming the message of the gospel is. We're reminded in the first instance of the reality of sin in the world. But we're also reminded that the word that we proclaim is a message that says there is an answer to evil in the world. There is an answer to sin in the world. There is that answer to the sin that we may find within ourselves or that we may see all around us. And it is to be found in Jesus Christ and the salvation that he won for us on the cross of Calvary. And while there will be opposition to the word of the gospel, we can also be confident that the gospel is, after all, the power of God. We can be confident in the knowledge that the word of God will not go forth void, but that it will return back to God. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. Our text ends with the words, "As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him." So even in a scripture passage like we have before us today, where there is much opposition to Jesus in all that he stood for, yet we are heartened because we see that many came to believe in him. And today in a world, the world in which we live, in which there is much hostility and indifference to the gospel, it is heartening to reflect that still many come to believe. It's truly an encouragement to us to persist in our mission as Jesus persisted in his, to boldly and urgently proclaim the message of the gospel, and in doing so, trusting in that same Heavenly Father who did such wondrous things through our Lord Jesus, trusting in that same Heavenly Father who did such things in him and for him and through him. In Jesus' name, amen.